Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Celtics Rewind on Sports Radio 850 WEEI.
Tied at 30. Sam Cassell, left-hand dribble, down the left side of the floor, pull up, very tough shot, no good, rebound, Garnett saves it, no look for Leon Poe, under the basket, he scores off the window.
Somebody give me a towel, quick, I'm drooling.
Your late-night spot to talk about the Boston Celtics with John Ryder.
LeBron wide open, step back, left side, long two, barely gets the iron. This is amazing. You're going to be seeing these shots from LeBron over and over again on SportsCenter tonight.
Celtics Rewind.
At the buzzer, Devin Brown shoots a three. It is no good, just like everything else the Cavaliers put up over the final three quarters of game number two. It's over at the Garden, 89-73.
On Sports Radio 850 WEEI.
Welcome into Celtics Rewind. I'm John Ryder, and after a tough first game where it was kind of nip and tuck and it took to the very end for the Celtics to polish off the Cavaliers 76-72 in the first game, not exactly the case tonight. A blowout. Maybe, you know, they win by 16 points. You don't call that a blowout, but it could have been much worse for Cleveland. Celtics, an 89-73 win over the Cavs in game two of this series, as the Celtics now have a 2-0 series lead with the series headed to Cleveland, which should be very interesting. And I'll be taking your calls until midnight at 617-779-0850, toll-free 888-525-0850, pound WEI, free call if you have a Verizon cell phone. Boy, what a number. A clinic the Celtics defense is running on LeBron James and this Cleveland Cavaliers team. They're completely containing and confusing Cleveland. LeBron, 6 of 24 tonight in his 42 minutes of playing time. 21 points, got to the free throw line 13 times, hit 9 of those free throws, 0 of 4 from three-point distance. How about 7 turnovers? 7 turnovers for LeBron James. In this series now, he has 17 turnovers so far in the series, and a total of 33 points so far. I mean, who would think that LeBron James would have just scored 33 points in two games? Yeah, in one game, that was his playoff average headed in. His playoff average after the six-game series against Washington was at around 32 points a game. And when you consider that was his scoring against the Celtics during the regular season, well, what has changed? The Celtics certainly have devised a perfect scheme as far as swarming him and not getting, let him get to the basket, or if he does get to the basket, he'll have a tough time getting there. I mean, he's not getting good looks. He's certainly not hitting his jumper, and it's the combination of James Posey, Paul Pierce are just incredible so far. Posey has been absolutely great in this series through the first two games. He got his 22 minutes of playing time tonight. And you know, the stats, when you look at the box score, they don't jump out at you. 7 points, 6 rebounds. Did have 3 steals, just 3 of 6 shooting, but it's not his offense. It's his defense that's paving the way for the Celtics. And Paul Pierce bounced back offensively tonight and continued to play good defense. And how about the job of the bench tonight? Leon Poe was tremendous as well. And Poe was great help-out defense on LeBron James. Whenever that Cleveland would set a screen for LeBron and he was able to shake off Posey or Pierce, Poe was right there in the lane to supply great D on LeBron as well. Just great help-out defense by the Celtics. I mean, Cleveland had a great first quarter. Mostly it was Zydrunas Ilgauskas with his 10 points in the first quarter. He scored 19. But Cleveland shoots 58% in the first quarter. They end up shooting 36% for the game. And how about the Celtics bench? Celtics bench scoring 34 of their 89 points tonight, and they were really clutch in turning this game around in the second quarter. Let's get to the phones, and first up is Phil at Everett. Hi, Phil.
How you doing, John?
Good. How are you, Phil?
You remember the games from the 80s?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, you got to remember. I mean, this game just looked exactly like it. The hot. Look at the way they were banging off the court. How many saves did they have out of bounds?
There was some great hustle plays tonight, that's for sure. And you know what else jumps out at me in the series so far is they're completely out-rebounding Cleveland. Now, I didn't expect that to happen completely. I thought it'd be somewhat even, but Cleveland had the third was the third-best rebounding team in the NBA during the regular season, best in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics were the 12th best overall, and the Celtics out-rebounded Cleveland 45-39 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you, Leon Paul, you were right, dead on, off the bench. First of all, the bench was outscoring the Stardust.
They were, yeah. I mean, 34 of the 89 points, and they were huge in that second quarter. They really basically turned it around. You know, it's funny, we look back at how dominant Cleveland was in that first quarter. The bench completely turned things around really late in the first quarter and also in the second quarter.
Well, I tell you, watching the game, it just felt like an 80s game. Just the way they were bouncing off the court, you know, I mean, just hustling for every ball. The behind the pass.
Oh, yeah, Garnett, right.
That was just absolutely beautiful. The steals, screaming down the court with the huge dunk. But what are we going to do when we get to Cleveland? Because, you know, LeBron's going to be he's going to have a full tank once he gets to Cleveland.
Right, but I think if they continue, with the same game plan on LeBron, how can you not? I think they just have to continue, maybe add a few different wrinkles, change it up a little bit. But for the most part, I think they should just completely stick with the same scheme on LeBron James. Yeah, I mean, let Ilgauskas score 19 points or even 25 points, whatever. If you can continue, and that's the thing. No one expected LeBron to have another miserable game like he did. Everyone pretty much expected him to bounce back. And you know what I thought the biggest play of tonight's game? The biggest play of tonight's game, I thought, came with 7:43 to go in the second quarter when James Posey stole the ball from LeBron and then took it coast-to-coast for the slam dunk, and that gave the Celtics pretty much their first lead, 28-27. Then the Cavs missed seven straight shots after that. I thought that was a huge momentum changer, and it also taught LeBron, hey, nothing's going to come easy tonight, and nothing's going to come easy in this series. Here's Aaron in Chicopee. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah, another trademark win for the Celtics. You know, dominant third quarter and great defense.
Yeah, it was. The two quarters, the second and third quarter, were just incredible. They outscored Cleveland 53-27 in those two quarters combined.
Yep, just like they have all season. I mean, against, you know, other.
Right. Yeah, the third quarter has been their trademark as far as coming out of the half, and you know, Cleveland didn't make any adjustments and continued to seem lost out there.
I wouldn't say a comeback game, but they kept up their scoring averages at least.
Right. Well, I mean, Pierce, a lot of people knock him for his offense in game one where he, you know, he only scored 4 points. That's understandable as far as, you know, as far as knocking his offense. But I thought Pierce played great defense in game one, whereas Ray Allen didn't play good on either end of the floor. Allen tonight, 4 of 10 shooting, but he really played a steady second half, I thought.
To back up Allen after game one, he only took 4 shots and, you know, 1 in rhythm maybe. You know, he's a pure shooter. He needs to get more shots. You know, when he puts up 10, he'll make 4 as he did tonight.
Right, and he got to the line effectively as well, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, which was good to see. And, you know, which was I actually got a little bit nervous or discouraged when I saw his first free throw there on that technical in the first half and he missed them. Like, oh boy, he is really, when Ray Allen isn't hitting free throws, you're like, wow, what is going on? And you know what's interesting, Sean Grady brought this up during the broadcast, this was the first time all season that Ray Allen didn't show up 3 hours before the game like he usually does to take about a million jump shots before the game. He actually showed up a little bit later, so he tried to change things up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's right back to his old self, so And about the defense, I thought the Celtics would be lucky to keep LeBron to 30 points a game.
Right. Never mind through two games.
Yeah, I know. 22 points is high. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous, and it's baffling. And I'm sure no one's more confused than LeBron himself. Here's Bill in New Hampshire. Hey, Bill.
Hey, John.
Yes?
How are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Listen, what's the story down there? What did you say? You're going to midnight?
That's right.
That's right. No, that's wrong. You got a following, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, that's number one. When Manansky come on before you, they put him on after the game and they had you work 7 to 10. Your people called you, didn't they?
Right.
You got to go to 1 o'clock. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You know, after this win, after the Celtics on this pace, and they're going to turn around and sweep this series, which is what I said.
Yeah, right.
Did I say it?
Yes, you said it was going to be a sweep. We'll see. I mean, they haven't been able to win on the road yet, so we have to wait and see.
We'll wait and see, but I'm going to tell you what. Do you feel very confident? Do you think this is going to go six or seven games?
Well, I'll tell you what. If the Celtics win game three, it is going to end up being a sweep, I think.
Thank you.
I mean, I think that, you know, if they win game three, Cleveland will be completely out of sync.
Thank you. And everybody got all discombobulated, Atlanta, you know, taking the seven games. That's what's called a spasm. Any first-year medical student could diagnose that's a spasm. This is a sweep. You know, we'll worry about Detroit when we get there. But, I mean, Ryder, listen, do everybody a favor. You got to go to 1 o'clock. You're going to turn around after this win, the Celtics on a high. I mean, what do you got to do? You're going to put on JT the Brick? Are you all right?
I don't really make the decisions around here,
listen,
Bill.
I'm
fine with all the decisions that are made.
Listen, you can make the decision. You can go to 1 o'clock. Don't give me the, you know, come on.
Well, I appreciate, you know, you liking the job I do, Bill.
I do. Ryder, believe me. You know, there's a lot of guys on that station, and you know it, and I've come out and said it. I'd say it to their face. I wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire. You know that. But there's some guys over there that I like. And if I like, I'm loyal to them. You know, and that's how it works. So, I mean, you know, you built up a following, John. You do a hell of a job. And people want to talk about basketball. You're going to play some sound, you know, from the locker room, and then you're out of there at midnight. That's wrong. I mean, you know it, and I know it.
All right, well, I appreciate the phone call. As always, Bill, John Ryder, Celtics Rewind, 617-779-0850, toll-free, 888-525-0850. Here's Pat in Quincy. Hey, Pat.
John, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Good. How are you, Pat?
I didn't know you had a representative.
I didn't either. I guess maybe you should be my new agent. I don't
These are the things you do. But anyways, let's look at the big picture here, John. The Celtics are in a lot of trouble right now.
Are in a lot of trouble right now?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're looking back to last series where they lost on the road?
Let's look at the first home game.
Right?
They weren't in sync. And tonight it took them a long time. They were down, what, 21-9 tonight? It took them a long time to come back. And, yes, the road. The road is not kind to them.
Well, it has been so far, at least in the Hawks series. You know, the jury's still out. So far, you have to say, yeah, they have played lousy on the road in the playoffs. But the only sampling we have is the Hawks. You know, that's why Game 3 is going to be so interesting and so intriguing to see if the Celtics can actually pull off a road win and bounce back.
Well, that's why Saturday night is a must win. They have to win that game Saturday night. Now, when they were
If they win Game 3, even if this goes 4 or 5, this series is over, I think. If they win on Saturday night, it's done.
Oh, if they win Saturday night, ball game. See you later. We'll see you in the conference final.
You know what's interesting is after everyone made so much out of the Celtics going 7 games with the Hawks, if they finish this series, they might be getting more rest than Detroit. I mean, the Detroit series could end after the Celtics series ends. Easily.
Exactly. Now, let's look right now. They're only up 2-1. The Lips is hurt. Who knows how long he's going to be out for?
And Orlando's a solid team. I think Orlando's a better team than Cleveland.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, they're a much better team.
I mean, more balanced, that's for sure.
Oh, of course. But let me tell
you still
right
think
now,
Detroit wins that series, but
right now I wouldn't say that. If Lips is out, everything changes that.
Well, they're saying that, you know, he has a strained hamstring and they're going to try to get him to play game 4. He might be limited a little bit his backup. He doesn't have Sam Cassell as a backup. He has a rookie, Rodney Stuckey, who's played pretty well, but still depending on a rookie to you know, carry things on the road is a little bit tougher.
Well, this isn't like the old Detroit teams where Vinny Johnson can come out and light it up.
Right.
You know, they're in a lot of trouble, to be honest with you. And Orlando, that they have a great home crowd down there. They're into it. But, I mean, let's get back to the focus right now. The Celtics, they have to win Saturday night. If they don't win Saturday night, here we go again with another Game 7. And it's a fact.
Well, I don't know if it's a fact, but, you know, the Celtics, I think, learned something from that first series. At least I hope they did. And I think that, you know, the one thing that you could think about, there's certainly collapses in that Hawks series, no doubt about it. I mean, we look back to when they had the 10-point lead and collapsed, and also even in Game 6 when they had a lead as well and fell apart. But, you know, the thing was is that they were in all those games on the road, certainly not a good showing. It'll be interesting to see. It's tough to gauge what exactly they're going to do on the road because the only sampling we have is what they did in that Hawks series, which was disappointing on the road. But I think the Celtics certainly have the momentum. But, you know, we said that after the two blowout wins over the Hawks. But I think the Celtics are not going to take the Cavaliers lightly when they go into Cleveland. Here's Fran in the car. Hi, Fran.
Hey, John. How you doing tonight?
Good, Fran. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, just real quick about the previous caller. The caller before, he's right. You do have a huge following. I mean, I listen to you every time I'm on my way home from work after the game. I love your input. Love your insight. I just think it's awesome. So,
all right. Appreciate
it, Fran. Love to keep you on to one, but, you know, you got other things. And hey, but let's go back to this real quick. I really think, you know, they are stepping it back up. I think now that they've gone through Atlanta and they've got the scare of the game seven, they decided, you know, enough's enough. Let's go. We got to put on the display. And they are. Look what they're doing to LeBron James defensively.
It's amazing. It's just incredible how they're confusing him. And you could just see the frustration on his face.
Oh, it's unbelievable. He's getting so – he's frustrated. He's getting a little bit chippy sometimes, a little testy after a play. He's getting them out. They're taking LeBron out of his game, which is exactly what you need to do to keep him from scoring.
Well, they're forcing him into being a jump shooter. And, I mean, there's times he's a very streaky shooter, and there's times he can hit that 18-foot shot. But for the most part, he's really not a great three-point shooter, and he's not a great jump shooter. I mean, at times he can be pretty decent, but they're really forcing him outside. And I have never seen anyone play better defense. In the Cavs games I've watched LeBron, which he usually dominates. I think LeBron James is going to be having nightmares about James Posey.
Oh, I definitely. Posey has just been unbelievable with him, and just manning up on him and making sure, just taking him and getting him out of his rhythm and not letting him catch any rhythm. And that's what LeBron's about, is rhythm and getting him in there. And they keep him from doing that. And it's wonderful to see. And just like you said, game three is pivotal. You win game three, there is no game five. Because then I think the Celtics know they can go in there to Cleveland, beat them at their place, and then be done with it.
Right. I mean, you know, even if somehow that, you know, if the thanks a lot, Fran, appreciate the call as always. If the Celtics do win game three and say they lose game four, I still think, I mean, this thing is over in five. But we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's all wait and see because the Celtics still haven't established themselves as a road playoff team. And until they do, then, you know, the jury's still out as far as the Celtics on the road. Here's Ed in Salem, New Hampshire. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how you doing? My first Celtics game tonight since 1987.
No, excellent. And it was a good one to go to.
Well, I got to tell you, I had to call because I heard one of your callers say it was like the 80s. And, you know, I had been season tickets from 76 to 87. I don't think it was like the 80s. In fact, I wasn't impressed with the first half. If everybody remembers, the Celtics are down by 10 or 12, and it was Posey and Poe and T.J. Brown who brought him back.
Right, it was the bench. And the thing that,
the
that's...
bench, and, you know, they did play good defense in the second half, but I got to tell you, I, quite frankly, was not impressed by the big three. I mean, they have no inside game, and Kendrick Perkins, for a big man, I mean, his hands are like bricks. And I guess I want to be a dinosaur because I was sure, you know, I haven't been in the New Garden. This is the first time in the New Garden. You know, I'm used to John Kyle in New York.
Things have changed as far as the way it's prepared and the way it's presented.
But I got to tell you, I hope the Celtics win, but I was not impressed with what I saw in the first half.
I can understand what you said. You know, not impressed with I can understand the first quarter, but the Celtics had a very strong second quarter.
That's with the bench in there.
I know, but you said the first half you weren't impressed with the team in the first half.
No, I mean, not with the starting three. I mean, when they had, and I want to call him Kevin because there is only one Kevin. They had Garnett on the bench and T.J. Brown was in there with Posey and, you know, Poe. That's what brought the team back.
Well, I agree with you. The bench did bring him back. I think Paul Pierce helped keep him in the game in the first quarter. Pierce had 7 points. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's the bench, and it's lucky that the Celtics have a luxury like that. Look at the rest of the playoff teams. Look at the rest of the playoff teams around the NBA. I don't think anyone has a bench to match what the Celtics have. I mean, you know, if your starters aren't generating offense like that in the first quarter or the first half, usually the game's done. I mean, I don't think there's any other teams around the NBA where the bench can rescue the team. It's usually the opposite.
I got to say, you got to give Ainge credit for being that bench, because the big three, are not the big three. I think that they're going to have problems when they get to L.A. if they make it that far. And, I'm just apprehensive at best. But then I'm a dinosaur, so what can I say?
I got you. Well,
okay.
All right, Ed. Well, I still think, I thought it was a solid game from Kevin Garnett. 13 points, 12 rebounds in his 32 minutes. I think Paul Pierce was terrific on both ends of the floor. Yeah, Ray Allen, he struggled in the first half, but he bounced back in the second half and finished with 16 points. So I thought it was just a very balanced scoring effort, balanced on defense. They dominated on the glass. They limited Cleveland's shooting percentage to 36%. I thought just overall, you can't really complain too much about the Celtics in this one. John Ryder, Celtics Rewind, taking your calls at 617-779-0850. Toll free, 888-525-0850. Quick break, back after this.
You could read every sports section in every paper and click on every website on the net to find out what's going on in the world of sports today. But really?
That'll take forever.
All you need to do is leave it right here on the super informative WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Bam, offensive end, left-hand dribble behind the P.J. Brown screen. Double team, bounce, pass, Leon Poe, baseline, puts it to the floor, spins into Varejao, back to his left, gets him up in the air, puts it off the back iron, no good, offensive rebound. Tap back up and in by Leon Poe, and just that half-second hesitation on Varejao gave Leon a chance to score.
Just the past couple of days, games, we just changed the game plan a little bit. He's a great young player, and, he gets... just as he's not playing well right now, as y'all say, he could turn it around at home. So we just, just stay focused in on our game plan and just try to execute it as best we can.
You just heard from the ever-steady James Posey. What a sixth guy off the bench he is for the Celtics, and especially in this series against LeBron James. LeBron now 8 of 42 shooting from the field. I'm not a mathematician, but I know that percentage is not good. I mean, LeBron tonight, 6 of 24. After his 2 for 18 showing in Game 1, he scores 21 tonight. 9 of those points coming on free throws. He missed 4 free throws. And how about the turnovers? 7 turnovers in this game after 10 the other night. So that's 17 overall. LeBron James is just confused. And who would have ever thunk that he would just be limited this much? I thought the Celtics would play decent D on LeBron James, but I never expected through these first two games. That's why it'll be so interesting. And there's so much pressure on LeBron James' shoulder heading back to Game 3 on Saturday night in Cleveland. I'm John Ryder. This is Celtics Rewind. Taking your calls at 617-779-0850. Toll free 888-525-0850. And back to the phones. Here's Chris in the car. Hi, Chris.
Hey, John. What's going on?
How's it going?
Hey, Bill in New Hampshire. He's a character.
That's for sure.
But I totally understand where he's coming from. Bill, you're a great guy. You're funny. JT the Brick coming on. I can understand where he's coming from. That guy is horrible.
All right. You have a Celtics question, Chris?
Yeah. Anyway, LeBron James, the Celtics, we got the series 2-0. You got to think that this LeBron James, this isn't the time for him. I think he needs somebody else with him. It's obvious LeBron James and the rest of the team isn't working.
It's not. And I wasn't a big fan of the trade they made. I understand that LeBron didn't like playing with Larry Hughes. I mean, that's the reason they got rid of Larry Hughes. And basically, they gave up offense for defense in those trades where they got rid of Larry Hughes and Drew Gooden. But the thing is Wally Szczerbiak is not, the pure shooter he used to be, or at least I think he's lost a step or two. Delonte West is, he's a two guard. He's not a point guard. He does a decent job for them at point guard, but he's playing out of position, doesn't supply the offense. And Ben Wallace, who only saw 4 minutes tonight, was brought in for his defense and really hasn't had a lot. So what does he have when you look at the starting five out there? And even Varejao, who they take off the bench instead of Wallace, I mean, really, his only other option for the most part is Ilgauskas.
Yeah, exactly. You got to expect, game three is the game. I mean, I couldn't believe what was going on in the game. You got to think LeBron James, this is just a disaster of a series for him.
This is his worst two playoff games in his NBA career.
At the same, at the same time, it's like Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett. I mean, these three guys, I mean, they have to put it together over LeBron James, who, I mean, he's got years left in the NBA, and these guys, they want to get it done now. I think maybe Atlanta Hawks really woke him up.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, in the long run, what's kind of ironic and funny about the Hawks series is that, you know, if it was a wake-up call for this team, I think they've certainly woken up. I mean, that might help them in the long run, just, you know, having to go through the toughness of that series, which they didn't expect to happen.
Exactly. And real quick, though, if they can get by the Cavs, which it definitely looks like the case, game three, you know, either way, I mean, I think I see a five-game series. They'll move on. Detroit, I think we can easily handle them over,
I think Orlando would be an easy series. Right. Well, Dwight Howard inside is a beast. I think either way it'd be a difficult series for the most part. But I think we should exercise, be cautiously optimistic what's going on with the Celtics. I think these two games have been terrific. I mean, the first game was very close and, went right to the finish in the 76-72 win. This certainly game was over pretty much in the third quarter. But we're getting a lot of similar calls to what happened after game two against the Hawks. I mean, they blow that team out by 22 points, and everyone's expecting now a sweep from the Celtics. So I think we have to exercise a little bit of caution and really wait and see what happens in game three. I mean, I think this game was perfect by the Celtics. After falling behind early, they bounced back in the second quarter. Their bench was just tremendous tonight. The combination of Cassell, P.J. Brown even was effective in his 6 minutes with 4 points and two rebounds. James Posey, I know I've been throwing bouquets at him as far as what a great game he's had, but, you know, he did. I mean, he was tremendous. So far, I'd say he might be the MVP of this series. Leon Poe was terrific as well. Got 4 offensive rebounds, 7 total, 11 points in his 28 minutes. Here's Kareem in Connecticut. Hi, Kareem.
Hey, John, a couple things. First, I agree with all these other callers. You got to come on right after the game. I went to the game with my kids, turned on the radio. We're like, were these guys watching the game? You have a much better handle on what's actually going on out there. So I got to second all those comments.
All right, appreciate it, Kareem.
But I completely agree with Posey. I mean, the guy's a consummate pro. I've never seen defense played as technically sound as he did on LeBron. And I think the other wrinkle tonight, one of the other wrinkles, which was key, was Pierce was a lot more aggressive on the offensive end, was going right at LeBron, not afraid of him, just going right at him. And I think that just wore LeBron out on both ends of the court.
I would agree with you. What was nice to see was Pierce was going strong to the basket and drawing defense at certain times, whereas, you know, LeBron, it was pretty much just like game one, where Pierce changed up a little bit and certainly had a better, more effective game on offense in this game, too. But he was doing things different. He was driving more to the basket, whereas they were still forcing LeBron into being a jump shooter.
Yeah, and one thing, just to nitpick a little bit, was first quarter, I wasn't real happy with the way Doc was handling that. You know, Rondo was asleep. Kirk was getting beat to loose balls by Wally Szczerbiak. He had his head in the clouds. And the only reason he got out of the game was he had that injury, and, you know, Doc was just sort of letting it go, no timeout, wasn't even getting off the bench and getting in these guys' faces. So a little passive, I thought, in terms of recognizing what was going on out there and making a change. Just wondering what you think about that.
Well, I actually have to disagree with you on that, Kareem, as far as, you know, I'm looking at my notes here. You got Posey in for Ray Allen with about 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. I'm happy he made those changes early. You know, Cassell coming in early on in the first quarter, he recognized, I thought, in the first quarter when Cleveland was up 17-9 that, you know, some changes had to be made. So it wasn't like he stuck with his starters for the entire half. I mean, he changed things up, I thought, pretty quickly in the second quarter, whereas some coaches wouldn't have gone to the bench as much as he did that early. I mean, he brought Posey in real early, and I expected Posey to see between 20 and 25 minutes a game in this series, and so far that's been the case. But, you know, he also recognized, I thought, that, you know, Rondo was struggling or getting, you know, generating offense for the rest of the guys, so he put Cassell in. So I wasn't really too upset with him early on because, I mean, how early can you go to the bench? I mean, you can't go, I don't think, to, you know, pretty much making wholesale changes with about, you know, with a large part of the first quarter left.
Right. Okay.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, even just getting off the bench and getting in their face a little bit. But, you know, I realize it's a confidence issue as well with some of these young guys.
Right. Well, he wanted to try to get Ray Allen, you know, and thanks for the call, Kareem, Ray Allen his shot going, and it just wasn't happening. And then he realized, well, I'm going to get Posey in there for Ray Allen. And I like that end of the first quarter where he had Posey in there with Pierce, both of them kind of doubling up on LeBron for the most part. And, you know, you don't lose a lot of offense with James Posey, I don't think. Certainly, you know, the way Ray Allen was playing in the first half with no points, you weren't losing any offense at that point because Allen hadn't scored. And Posey came in and hit a couple of big shots and played that tremendous lockdown defense on LeBron. Got some open lines now. John Ryder, Celtics Rewind, 617-779-0850, toll-free 888-525-0850, pound WEI, free call if you have a Verizon cell phone. We're taking your calls up until midnight, so still room for you to jump on board and talk about this Celtics win and look ahead to Game 3 as well. Do you think that the Celtics can win a road game? They haven't done it yet in the playoffs. Here's Mark in Watertown. Hi, Mark.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
I think it's going to probably, in the end, it might go to five games. But one thing that sticks out, and I was at the game tonight, is just the difference between the two teams. I think there's a tremendous amount of balance on our team on both sides of the court. And I just don't think that the Cavaliers are deep enough to handle us. I mean, you get offense, defense. We work well together. I really think they're a one-trick pony to some degree.
I agree with you. I mean, they have Ilgauskas, who I think, you know, he's more of an offensive center. He's played pretty good defense, but he's really stationary for the most part. He's not, you know, quick at all. He does have that nice jump shot. But besides that, you look at it, never mind their bench, which I don't think they have a very deep bench. Their starters really can't even match up for the most part as far as, you know, generating any offense. When LeBron's not clicking, forget about it.
I agree, and I'll tell you what, he is the most frustrated guy I've seen. I mean, you could just see in his face, he's just not clicking, and I don't think it's going to turn on when they get back home. And the last thing I was going to say was that it's a blast watching Garnett play because that guy plays with such emotion, and it's a treat for everyone that's there because he'll drive to the basket, he'll steal a ball, he'll block a shot, he'll come down, he'll high five fans, he's
Oh, he's great. He likes to see other players and his teammates do well. When you notice, you know, when he's on the bench and the second unit's out there, he's rooting for guys like you know, Leon Poe and James Posey and PJ Brown. He wants everyone to do well. He just wants team success.
It's the best, and that kind of a personality to play with Pierce was the only way it was going to work because Pierce is a star himself. So the guy that came in, if he was going to be a superstar, had to be modest. He had to be able to pass it off to the next guy, and I think Garnett delivers for sure.
Well, I do too, and thanks for the call, Mark. And I think they brought in these guys, have said it all season, at the perfect time in their careers. I mean, they're sacrificing their offense for the better good of the team, and they're clamping down, and they're dedicated to defense. I mean, I think that, you know, it's late in their career. Ray Allen's 32. Kevin Garnett is 31 years old, and Paul Pierce is 30. So, I mean, this isn't, you know, right at the prime of their career. They're still in good shape, obviously, and still great players. But they realize they don't have many chances left to win a championship, and this is one of their best shots for sure. Celtics knock off the Cavaliers 89-73 in Game 2, and as we stated on Mikey's show, it wasn't even that close, the final score. It could have been much more of a blowout. The Cavs outscored the Celtics 22-19 in the fourth quarter, but pretty much after three, it was a foregone conclusion that this game was over. Here's Scott Woburn. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. How are you, Scott?
Not too bad. Are the Celtics going to be able to keep up what they've done in Game 2 and in Game 3 in Cleveland?
Well, that's the great unknown. I mean, that's what we're all trying to figure out because – you know, the whole Jekyll and Hyde series with Atlanta where they, you know, fell apart on the road. And
that was crazy.
And that's why we're waiting to see what happens in Cleveland. I mean, I think that they are going to play fine on the road, and I think they will win one of the road games, whether it's Game 3 or Game 4.
I really hope they turn it around because I know they have the potential to with the offensive talent they have and the defensive prowess with Kevin Garnett and the way he's trained Paul Pierce this year, but the way they handled it in Atlanta, it was hard to see how they could take this defensive prowess on the road. And I really hope they can do this in Cleveland. If they can take this next game they're going to take the series in five games at the most.
Right. Well, I would agree with you, Scott, and I think there was some complacency, and I think they were underestimating the Hawks a little bit when they met up with them on the road, which, you know, hadn't happened in the, you know, at all during the regular season. The one good thing I can point to was, you know, it might be better off that the Celtics didn't blow out the Cavs in both games. You know, they won by four in the first game, and certainly tonight they win by 16. But, you know, in those
right.
Hawks games, they were pretty much over before they started those first two games. Whereas, you know, they won so convincingly, I think they just figured, well, we'll just go into Atlanta. Even if they keep it close, we know we're going to, you know, turn on the Jets in the second half and just blow them away. But another thing is I think, you know, Cleveland's much different than Atlanta. I mean, I think this Cleveland matchup suits the Celtics very well. I mean, they don't have to play this up-tempo, fast-break style of basketball. They don't. You know, Cleveland doesn't have the athleticism that Atlanta
exactly.
did. They're much
exactly.
more stationary, you know, and they don't, I mean, even look tonight, I mean, in these games, the Celtics had 12 fast break points compared to, you know, Cleveland with four. And I think that they just don't have the athleticism and the guys inside to really, you know, bother the Celtics when they go to the hoop as much.
I agree. We have got to take this game in Cleveland coming up. It's such a huge game.
Well, they have to take one of them. They have to. I mean, if they take game three, then it's really sending a statement. But, I mean, whatever the case, they have to take one of the two.
I agree. Thanks a lot, brother.
Yeah, no problem, Scott. Well, we got, I believe, a little bit of sound from Doc Rivers after the Celtics win tonight, 89-73. Doc Rivers, no, I guess we don't. Never mind. But, 89-73, the Celtics knock off the Cavaliers in Game 2. 617-779-0850, toll-free, 888-525-0850, pound WEI, a free call as well if you have one of those Verizon cell phones. Got a couple minutes here for you to talk before we wrap things up here on Celtics Rewind. Game 3 will be on Saturday night at Cleveland. What road team will the Celtics be this time around in this playoff series? I think I expect a much better showing on the road from the Celtics in this series than the Hawks series. I mean, how can you not? I mean, I think they learned their lesson from that first series, and they'll be fine. I think they do win one of these games, whether it's Game 3 or Game 4, but I do think that they will end up winning one of these road games. But what an amazing job by the Celtics bench tonight. Look at it comparative to Cleveland's. Celtics bench outscoring Cleveland's 34-17 overall. 16 rebounds for the Celtics bench, 5 assists, just 2 turnovers, 2 assists and 3 turnovers for the Cavs bench. But it was really the Celtics bench that turned things around at the half. You look at, you know, the Celtics, 26 of the 44 points they had in the first half came from the bench. 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 turnover in the first half for the Celtics bench, whereas Cleveland just had 3.6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover. And the other thing is Cleveland, I mean, it's not talked about too much, but Daniel Gibson, who was pretty big in that Washington series and even was clutch last year against Detroit when Cleveland ended up advancing to the finals, hasn't done anything for the most part. He played 20 minutes tonight, was 0 of 2 from the field, and just 2 points. They need steadier play from him off the bench as well. You know, Varejao is a good defender. He got 10 rebounds, but he doesn't give you much on offense. The thing is, the Cleveland has a very good defensive team, but they just don't have enough offense. Whereas the Celtics have this tremendous defensive team, but they can do it on offense as well. They're much more balanced than Cleveland. I mean, Ben Wallace, he's not a threat on offense. Varejao is not at all. Joe Smith can give you a jump shot once in a while, but he's getting up there in age. Devin Brown hasn't really seen any action. Pavlovich could hit a jump shot or the three-pointer. But for the most part, there's just not enough weapons on this Cleveland team. And when LeBron James is playing as miserable as he has in this first two games, there's no one really to pick up the slack. Ilgauskas was terrific in the first quarter and, you know, finished with the 19 points, but he only, you know, he scored 10 of those points in the first quarter where he was just on such a roll. And I was like, oh, boy, you know, I thought that with the way he was shooting, and I thought LeBron would eventually heat up, that things could end up going Cleveland's way, but the Celtics turned it around. I thought Doc Rivers did a great job making the substitutions earlier, and, you know, with Posey getting in there for Ray Allen with about 2 minutes to go, and I still think that pivotal play with 7:43 to go in the second quarter when Posey stole the ball from LeBron James, when, you know, the rest of the court for the slam dunk, that gave the Celtics a 28-27 lead that they pretty much didn't relinquish. LeBron had an air ball after that, so I think he was completely rattled right after that steal. That really sent a message to LeBron that nothing was going to be easy. At that point, he was 3-for-10 with 3 turnovers. And the Cavaliers missed 7 shots during that stretch. Then Cassell hits a long jump shot. Kevin Garnett, the offensive rebound, a no-look behind-the-back pass to Poe inside to give the Celtics a lead. And, you know, the Celtics just pretty much kept rolling from there. I mean, it was unbelievable. They were down 21-9 at one point, and then they end up – that second quarter was huge. The Cavaliers in the second quarter shot just 11% from the floor. That is incredible. They ended up shooting 36% in the game, but – you know, the Cavs go from shooting 58% in the first quarter to shooting 11% in the second quarter. Talk about making some changes and some wrinkles in the defense. That's getting the job done. Here, sinus headache?
Yeah, for Ben Wallace. You want to hear?
Yeah, sure.
Got a sinus headache, and you know, with the smoke in the building, and, you know, everything just, you know, made my sinus build up and had a headache, and, you know, wasn't able to turn my head from one side to the other too fast, got dizzy. And
so there you go, Ben Wallace, the reason why he only played 4 minutes, dizziness, and I'm surprised, actually, that he's usually a beast and a real gamer, but I guess he was a little bit too woozy, but the Cleveland Cavaliers look completely woozy on offense. LeBron James was not getting the job done and hasn't gotten the job done here through these first two games. It's incredible, and you keep saying, and I said it after game one, I expect LeBron James to bounce back eventually, and you still, I still can't imagine LeBron being this poor when he goes back to his home court and his home state and his hometown, and, you know, to have this type of performance in the playoffs when he's been such a clutch performer in the past in the playoffs. I mean, Cleveland was the best team in the fourth quarter in the NBA this season. They led the NBA in fourth quarter scoring during the regular season, but also in so-called clutch time. That's the final 5 minutes of the game when neither team is already is ahead by more than 5 points. That's LeBron's time when he usually takes over. We thought it was going to maybe happen last night when it was nip and tuck there towards the end. Certainly it was a blowout tonight, but LeBron James just can't is out of sync. I mean, he's only 23 years old, but this is already his 8th playoff series and just his 3rd postseason, and he's really struggling in this one so far. But let's see what happens in Game 3. Really wait and see, and I can't wait to talk to everyone after Game 3. We'll have Celtics Rewind for you immediately following Game 3 on Saturday night, a 2-hour show. Then, as we'll be taking your calls up until 1 a.m. after Game 3 on Saturday night. Thanks for listening tonight. Appreciate it, as always. I'm John Ryder. This is Celtics Rewind. And great job, as always, by Jason Pothier producing this show. J-Pod and Mike Rocco helping out as well. Thanks to him. And I'll be talking to you guys after Game 3 on Saturday night as the Celtics look to take a commanding 3-game-to-none lead.
Just a better effort overall, both ends. I thought defense pretty much the same, just very solid. And I thought the offense was terrific in spurts. Good to see Ray get it going. I thought that lifted everybody up on our team.
You got to give some credit to all the other stations in town trying to compete against this one.
You can't give up hope just because it's hopeless. You got to hope even more and cover your ears and go blah, 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 blah.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.